Revelation chapter 5, keep your Bibles open there. Just keep it tabbed there for every Wednesday night. That'll be good. Galatians chapter number 5, can you hear me okay? Feels a little quiet on my end, but it could just be me. Galatians chapter 5, and take your Bibles and turn there, and let's look at verse number 16. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 16, we'll read down to the end of the chapter, looking at the fruit of the Spirit, and we are about halfway through, maybe about halfway through tonight. In Galatians 5 and verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." We're going to have a memory passage of this when we're done to see if you've memorized these verses when we are completed. And no, we're not going to do that. Let's bow forward to prayer as we begin the message tonight. I pray that you have your hand, Lord, upon this time as we get to hear from you. Please be with me and fill me with your power. And I pray that your word would go forth and do the work that is needed in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at the subject of living and walking in the Spirit so that you have the fruit of the Spirit. Remember, the fruit of the Spirit is a byproduct, a result of being a saved person. It's sad how many people are trying to live the Christian life but are not truly saved. They don't even know for sure that heaven is their home. How can you have that assurance, that foundation in your life of knowing that you're going to heaven, but you feel like you're kicking into high gear, but the wheels are spinning, but going nowhere? You must know that you're saved. And then when you get saved, walking with God, that's really what puts the Christian life into practice. It makes the Christian life work when you are truly walking with God. Do you have a real walk with God? Is it real? Is it alive? Is God speaking to your heart? Are you speaking to God? Is God doing a work in your life daily in your walk with God? Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Remember, you only have two options: to walk in the Spirit or to walk in the flesh. The one is good, the other is bad. The one is fruitful, the other one is destructive. And we must choose every day desiring to walk in the Spirit, to have the blessing of God and to have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. We won't go over each point tonight, but we looked at the fruit of love, the fruit of joy, the fruit of peace, the fruit of long-suffering, and last week was the fruit of gentleness. Tonight, look at the fruit of goodness, the fruit of goodness. So you see that there in the middle of verse number 21, middle of verse number 22, and the fruit of goodness. What is goodness? Goodness is virtue and holiness in action, uprightness of heart and life. I love that. Goodness is virtue and holiness in action. There's too many times that people have a head knowledge of all the things of God, and that's great. But it doesn't do us enough good if we have the truths of God stuck in our mind, but it's never put into practice in our lives. And goodness is putting that into practice. That's also wisdom, right? Wisdom. The difference between a foolish person and a wise person is, what do you do with the knowledge that is given to you? A foolish person isn't without the truth. They have rejected the truth. A wise person has accepted the truth and put into practice in their life. And that's really what goodness is: uprightness of heart and life. Another word maybe for holiness as well. This goodness is for the benefit of others, not goodness simply for the sake of being virtuous. It's not a "look how good I am." It's taking the good that God has done in your heart and doing something with it. Isn't that what the Christian life is all about? The Christian life isn't about just getting and getting and getting. The Christian life is about receiving so that you can give to others. And the goodness that God has done in your life with salvation, you take that salvation that God has given to you and you share that good news of the gospel with this lost and dying world, and you share that goodness with another person. You can share the truths of God's word and pray and the many things you can do to share that with others. So again, goodness isn't about look how good I am. You know, I hope we're not impressed with ourselves. You know what I mean? You know some people that they are so impressed with themselves. They love talking about themselves, sending pictures of themselves, and all they do is talk about their goodness. And you're like, oh brother, here it comes again. And you've heard the stories many times. Our goodness is not about look how good I am. First of all, it should be look how good God is. Amen? To look how good God is and to share the goodness of the Lord. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, if we're looking for the applause of men, that's all we get. But when we are looking to give praise to God, people should see the goodness that we have in our life, that we are different than this world, amen? That we are different than the world, but when people see that there's a difference, you don't take all the praise of, oh, look how good I am. You say, no, look how good God is. And you point that goodness to the Lord, because every good thing in my life has come from the Lord. I believe one of the highest compliments that someone can say about you is, that's a good person. Now, a godly person, of course, but that's a good person. I love this phrase. It's not grammatically correct, but them is good people. You hear that? And they're not talking about a group of people. It's one. One person. Them is good people. That's a southern term from I don't know where. But you get the point, though. That's a good person. You know, someone that has character. Amen? Honesty. You don't see that a lot today. You know, today it's, ooh, look what I got at someone else's disadvantage. I'm getting an advantage from them. I'm not looking to get something from someone to step on them, but to be honest, to have a godly character in your life, to have integrity, you don't see that in the world very often. You know, it's get what you can, and if no one's looking, you take it, and, you know, no one's the wiser. No, but goodness before the Lord. Now we understand this, that the Bible says there is none that doeth good, no, not one. There is no perfect person that's ever walked the face of this earth other than Jesus Christ himself. And so there's no perfect person. Now that's not an excuse to say, well, I'm not perfect, so I guess I can do whatever I want to do. The Bible says there's none that doeth good, no, not one. It says that 5 times in the Bible. There's none that doeth good, the Bible says. You know, apart from God in our lives, there's nothing good that I have to offer. Apart from the salvation of God and the Holy Spirit in my life, I have nothing good to offer. So again, the goodness that God has done in my life or that God uses to do in my life is all because of Him. Amen? Again, the Holy Spirit living in your heart and then God working in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit is how you see that goodness shown in your life. Too many people today are following after wickedness. It is so sad to look around and to watch the news and just to... You ever go people watching? We were at Costco the other day eating a fancy meal. And you want a cheap meal, you know? Take your family out to dinner for like $12 and you get a cheap meal. And I was eating there with the kids the other day, and there was a couple that must have been from out of town because they were kind of planning their next route. And they were an older couple, and they were saying, this is a good place to do some people watching. You ever do people watching and get really discouraged? You're like, oh my, kids don't look, you know, like, that's discouraging. You think, Lord, are we making any difference in Reading at all, you know? But there's a lot of wickedness out there, and a lot of wickedness that is praised. A lot of wickedness that's promoted, accepted, and it's now lawful, and it's praised by man. That's not goodness in God's sight. And that's really what goodness is, holiness in the sight of God, not in the sight of man. Because what man calls good, a lot of times is not good. That's just what they want accepted. but good in the sight of the Lord. God defines good and bad. God defines holy and unholy, and so any goodness that we have, it comes from God, and it is also defined by God as well. There's a few people in the Word of God that the Lord describes as good. Joseph, the Bible says in Luke 23:50, behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. Speaking of Joseph of Arimathea, and the Bible says he was a good man and just. Barnabas in Acts chapter 11, it says, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. A good man. The book of Job uses a little bit different verbiage, but it says in Job 1:1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Of all the titles you can have to be said of the Lord, that you were a good person, wouldn't that be a blessing? I hope we'd want to hear someday, well done, thou good and faithful servant, that you've done right in your life, that you lived a good and a holy life. Now, is anyone going to live a perfect life and not have any regrets or mistakes? Well, of course not. But may we strive to live a life that is good. And when you walk in the fruit, when you walk in the Spirit, you have the fruit of the goodness of God in your life. We know that the ultimate example in our life is Jesus Christ. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Not a single one. He is our ultimate example that he lived a life for 33 and a half years and gave us an example to follow. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10 how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And it says this, who went about doing good and healing all they that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He went about doing good. Now you have some people, all they do is they go around doing bad. Always breaking the law, running from the law, always in danger, always on the wrong side. I don't want to live my life that way. That's a stressful life, right? Who's coming today? Who's going to get me? You know, I'm not looking over my shoulder. Other than when you drive down the freeway and you see the police that's in the darkness on the side, and all of a sudden you go, oh no, you look at your speedometer again and think, was I doing good? You're like, it wasn't that bad. I think I'm okay. But may it be said of us that we will go around doing good. Do people come behind you and catch you doing good? I hope that's the case. You ever go somewhere and think, oh, I don't think I'm going to see anyone from the church here. And then you see like five people from the church there. But may we be caught doing good, knowing that God is with us all the time. Whether or not someone else sees me or not, God is always watching. You know, the Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding what? The evil and the good. Many times we think about that in a negative context. He's always watching, don't do wrong. No, he's also watching when you do right. Amen? When no one else sees you do right, God sees you do right. You know, when you think, oh, I could just pick up this money that someone dropped. When we're at Costco the other day. We're not at Costco that often, but these happen the same time. And I think some of the Lockwood boys were there, and they picked up an envelope that said on there, someone left this gift card here. And it was an envelope. So not only did someone leave it, but someone found it, and then it was dropped on the floor, and we found it again, and I turned it in and said, someone left this. I don't care how much money is in it. It's not mine. Right? It's not mine. So what are they going to do with it? That's between them and the Lord and their employer. I don't know. But do people catch you doing good? Being honest, having integrity. You know how many times it'd be easy just to fudge the numbers a little bit and work that in your favor? You think, oh, but I want to please the Lord. Amen? You think, oh, but the employer's not going to know, but I still want to do right. Amen? I still want to do what is good in the eyes of the Lord, because God is always watching. Well, you know what? God is good. Amen? God is good. In Exodus, the Bible says he's abundant in goodness and truth. Psalms 31, it says, oh, how great is thy goodness. It says, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And we could go on and on talking about the goodness of God. And when we have a good God and a good Bible, right? And you can walk in the Spirit and God produces good in your life. Know this, that anything bad in your life does not come from God. Right? God will never tempt you to sin. You may bring trials in your life. He'll never tempt you to sin. He'll never put wrong before you and try to get you. That's from the devil. That's from your flesh. He'll never tempt you to do wrong. God will always point you in the right direction. He'll always point you to do good. The fruit of the Spirit of goodness, the fruit of goodness in our life. Well, what does this goodness produce? It produces a good heart. A good heart. Have you ever heard of said of someone, they have a good heart. They have a good heart. And the Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 12, a good man out of the good treasure, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Out of a good heart comes good things. Again, going back to when you spend time with the Lord and you get your heart right with God every day. So God, I want to have a clean heart. David said in Psalms 51, create in me a clean heart. Oh God, renew a right spirit within me. Why? Because every day my heart wants to go the wrong direction. That fleshly, sinful nature wants to go the wrong direction. Just as your flesh does as well. But when you listen to the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit says, don't look that way, He's protecting your heart. The work of God always begins in the heart. You know that in the Bible? The work of God always begins in the heart. Salvation begins in the heart. Surrender comes from the heart. Salvation, humility, it comes from the heart. You know this, if your heart's not right, your life is not going to be right. If your heart's not right, your life's not going to be right. That's why it's so important. The proverb says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And if you ignore your heart's condition, you're going a dangerous path. Just as if you ignore your physical heart, you start ignoring, you start getting tightness and numbness and all this stuff, and you ignore it long enough, there's danger coming, isn't there? You better take care of it. But how much more spiritually of protecting your heart? Why? Because your flesh wants to go away from God, and the Holy Spirit's trying to point you to God. See, the fruit of goodness produces a good heart in you. See, your flesh wants to point you away from God, and the Holy Spirit wants to point you closer to God. The fruit of goodness, you have a good heart. Number two, you have good desires. Good desires. When you have a good heart, it puts good desires in its place. You know, again, your fleshly heart desires wrong things, just as mine does. I wish and I pray that our flesh was done away with at the moment of salvation. Wouldn't that be great? That would be wonderful that you never battle sin and temptation and wrong. That's not going to happen. But you keep battling the flesh, and maybe the desires, that sinful desires, are strong, but you walk with God and God helps you to take away those sinful desires and God gives you good desires. Amen? The good desires. God will give you the desires, the Bible says, of the heart. And so when you walk with God, God puts the right desires in there. See, when you first get saved, you know, maybe you first come to church and you think, what is this music that they're listening to? And how are these people dressing? And what is, you don't go where? You don't do what? Because your desires maybe still are in the wrong direction. But you keep walking with God and growing in the Lord, and God starts changing those desires. Maybe as a lost person, maybe as a new Christian, you still desire the wrong things. But the longer you're saved, the more you walk with God, that those desires are so far in the past. They may not be gone, but they're so far in the past, you think, I don't even desire the wrong music anymore. I don't desire to go to the wrong places and drink the wrong stuff and hang around the wrong friends. I don't desire that. And it used to be on a Sunday you desired to go and party or do whatever, and now on a Sunday, say, I can't wait to go to church. Right? I can't wait to go home to see my family. Those are good desires. See, good desires point you in the wrong way. In the book of Psalms 37:23, it says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." See, when you walk with God and you spend time with the Lord, he puts the right desires in your heart and he directs your steps. He directs you. He's pointing you closer to God's will and blessings and doing the will of God in your life, to his goodness, amen? The desires of things that are spiritual, not the desires of things that are wicked. In the passage in our text, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. Which side is your heart desiring more? You think, well, my desires are so much in the wrong area. I'm not saying you're going to get rid of those completely, but if that is an overwhelming desire in your life, maybe we need to get back to that time with God and getting things right with the Lord. I pray that we're not seeking evil, but seeking good in our lives. Understand this, if your desires are wrong, you need to get back to walk with God. If your desires are wrong, you need to get further away from the world. Maybe the desires have not changed because you've not changed where you're going. Maybe because you've not changed who you're spending the time with or what you're watching. You think, I don't know why I can't get rid of the wrong desires. Well, if you don't change and get rid of the wrong friends, you're probably going to have the wrong desires until you get the good friends. And the godly music, understand? Get further away from the world. You ever had that wrong desire that comes in your heart and your mind and you think, Lord, where did that come from? Confess it immediately. You don't want a wrong desire to come in your heart and your mind and you just think about it and dwell on it and consider, well, what would I do or where would I go? When you start desiring the wrong things, you better confess that right away. The Bible talks about casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. That wrong thought comes in, throw it right out. Say, God, forgive me for that. Help me to have pure and right thoughts and desires. Not going to get rid of the flesh completely, but you do not want to be controlled by the flesh. That's danger. That's a dangerous place to be. Are your desires holy or unholy? See, that fruit of goodness produces good desires in your life. It also produces a good name. The fruit of goodness, it produces a good name. Hey, when you walk with the Lord and people see again your good works, they see that you have a good testimony. In your workplace, do you have a godly testimony? Do you have a holy testimony? Now, you don't have to go and jump on the break table and start preaching at everyone and I have an invitation right there. You could do it. You may or may not get fired. I'm not really sure about that. But people should know that you have a good testimony, that you are a saved person. You know, that you're not telling the dirty jokes and going the wrong places, that you have a good testimony. They say, hey, you want to go here with me? Say, no, I'm not going to. I'm going home. How was your weekend? I went to church. I got to serve the Lord. Got to be with my family. People will see very quickly your testimony. That's a blessing, isn't it? The Bible says a good name is rather to be what? Chosen. A good name does not happen by accident. You don't just accidentally have a good testimony and a good name. That good name many times is built over years. But it can be destroyed in just a moment. A good testimony before your family, a good testimony before your co-workers, your neighbors, but it could be lost in a moment. You lose your cool in a moment, and that testimony, it's gone. You can get it back. It just may take a while to get that good name back again. A good name is rather to be chosen, the Bible says, than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. A good name. Again, going back to it again of being honest. There's a lack of honesty in our country today. Just simply telling the truth. There's a lack of hard work in our society today. We are overwhelmed with laziness in our society today. Overwhelmed. People that are not dependable, not hardworking, not caring and giving. Just very selfish, very self-centered, very fleshly. Christian, let's not have that kind of a name. You know, we could say, well, everyone else is doing it. Well, if everyone else is doing it, it's probably not what we should be doing, right? Amen? A godly testimony is living different, peculiar, sticking out in the world today. You don't have to try to be peculiar. You go home each night sober. You pay your bills and go to work. You do just even the basic things, you're going to stick out. You go to church and you be a witness, you are really going to stick out in this world in a good way. There's a lot of people in this world that stick out for the wrong way. You think, how did you ever imagine that hairstyle? Or whatever it may be, you think, where did that come from? Now they're not saved. maybe they are, maybe they're not. They're probably not saved, right? But I'm not trying to look like the world. We want to be different and having a good name. I think of Joseph in the Bible, that he had a good name. Amen? Even amongst his captors, he had a good name. He had a good testimony to the point where he rose in leadership immediately in the places where he was put because he had a good name. He was trustworthy. I think about that. You're a slave and they say, you're in charge of the house. You go to prison. Now again, I seem to question the jailkeeper's judgment of putting the prisoner in charge of the prison, but he put Joseph in charge because he had a good name. Why? Because he knew that God was with him. Amen? What a good testimony that God was with Joseph. Daniel had a good name even in a foreign land. He had a good name, a good testimony. People may not always agree with your convictions, but they will respect your testimony. They may not agree with your convictions, but they'll respect your testimony. See, you don't have to do what everyone else is doing. Keep a good testimony before the Lord, first of all, but also before others. What kind of name do you want to have? See, the fruit of the Spirit produces a good name in your life, and the fruit of goodness is also shows the good blessings that God gives in your life as well. The fruit of goodness. You know that when you live for God, there are blessings attached to obeying God. Isn't that great? I hope you're not living for God just to get all the blessings, but that would still be a good reason to live for God. All right? I hope you live for God because you love the Lord. You want to serve the Lord. But I'm thankful that when you serve God, that God gives you good things in your life as well. It may not be everything you ever wanted and wished for and all that, but God's blessings are so much better than what the devil has to offer you. Amen? The goodness of God is so much better than what the world has to offer you. You look at a commercial, don't watch wicked commercials. Mute it, change the channel. Don't let that play in your home to let Satan advertise that through your house. But the world tries to advertise a good time from doing wicked things, don't they? All the attractive people and partying and having fun and everything good in their life. That's not how it turns out, is it? No, it's not. Not for a second. It may be for a moment. There's pleasure in sin for a season. But there's no blessings that come from that. God doesn't bless a home that's living a wicked lifestyle. Doesn't bless a life and a job that's doing things that are wrong. God blesses those that are doing right. That fruit of goodness, doing things that are good and holy in your life. Live for the blessings of God. Remember when God told Abraham to leave your country and your kindred to a land that I will show thee, and he said, I will bless thee. I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. You know, when Abraham believed God and he obeyed God, God blessed his life. And I think I'm thankful that God's blessings have been upon my life. But guess what? I want more of God's blessings. Amen? I want more of God's blessings on my life. But also remember the blessings of God. That every bit of goodness in your life has come from God. Again, in James chapter 1, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. All the goodness in my life comes from God. You think, no, I learned that from my mom and my dad. No, the good things in your life, they've come from God. Anything good you've learned or been given or taught has truly come from the Lord. See, the devil always takes, but God always gives. Amen? Devil likes to take, doesn't he? He'll take it all away. He'll advertise the good things, but he won't tell you what's actually going to come at the end. He'll do that magic trick and pull the rug out from underneath, and you went, what just happened? That's what the devil does. But God's blessings, you may not know it up front, but God's blessings are always better when you live for him. That fruit of goodness, doing what's right. When you do what's right, God blesses that. Amen? God could say, obey or else. Couldn't he? Obey or else. But God says, obey, and I'll bless you. He says, I want to do good things for you. I want to bless your life, your home, your job. I want to give you a good life. Amen? And you live in the will of God, and you know the goodness of God, don't you? You know it. You get to go home tonight in the will of God. That's a good place to be. Amen? That's a good place to be, living in the will of God. Are you portraying the fruit of goodness in your life, following Christ's example? The Bible says he went about doing good. Everyone didn't always love him for that, but he went around doing good. The only thing they could pin to Jesus was lies, right? Or that he called himself the King of Kings, the King of the Jews, which he was. He went about doing good. May we get caught doing good. Amen? Doing the right thing, no matter who's watching, who's around, or who might find out. Be always caught doing good. Live a clean and a holy life and doing good to those around you. Not goodness for a badge of honor, but goodness from God to go and do good to others. That fruit of goodness in your life.